you for joining us. This is the Fisheries Podcast, a weekly podcast that shares the stories of the amazing people and projects that make up fishery science. If you haven't already, follow the podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fisheries Pod. If you're the generous sort, you can be like Ben, Tyler, Janet, Robin, and John, who all support the podcast on Patreon. Through Patreon, you are also able to support the show with either a recurring or one-time donation, which helps us pay for various parts of the show. If that isn't your thing, you can also purchase Fisheries Pod shirts, hoodies, stickers, and face masks on our Teespring store, if you feel inclined. So check it out. Our guest today is Dr. Christine Knott. Christine is an interdisciplinary scholar with a Bachelor of Arts in Anthropology and Women's Studies from McGill University, a Master's in Women's Studies and a PhD in Sociology from Emory University of Newfoundland and Labrador in St. John's, Canada. She's currently a postdoctoral fellow with the Ocean Frontier Institute in the Department of Sociology at Emory University, working with the Future Ocean and Coastal Infrastructures Research Project as part of the Inclusion, Social Justice, and Equity in Urban and Rural Coastal Communities Research Group. She's also an Ocean Nexus Research Associate. Welcome to the podcast, Christine.
Thank you for having me. Before we start, I just wanted to acknowledge that I'm a white settler currently situated in St. John's, Newfoundland, and I would like to respectfully acknowledge that the land is the ancestral homelands of the Beothuk, whose culture has now been erased forever. The island of Uktahungook, or Newfoundland, is the unceded traditional territory of the Beothuk and the Mi'kmaq. I also acknowledge Labrador as the traditional and ancestral homelands of the Innu of Natasian, the Inuit of Nanatsiavut, and the Inuit of Nanatukavut.
It's great to have you here, Christine. So, Christine, can you tell us more about your current research as a postdoctoral fellow with the Ocean Frontier Institute? Like, what have you been focusing on, and what is important to you and our society?
Yeah, for sure. So the work I'm currently doing is working to better understand how broader social and ecological factors have ramifications for current gendered and racialized labor processes within resource extraction and processing industries. So this includes understanding the ways that the oceans and coastal communities are reconfigured through interactions with like political, ecological, economic, and corporate influences along multiple scales and temporalities. So this includes looking at how social as well as ecological inequities can be reenacted through things such as corporate growth strategies and the implications of this on rural and coastal communities. Work quality, employment-related mobility, and citizen as well as animal rights. So that's a lot, but really broadly, I'm trying to understand interactions among resource-dependent communities, government policies, global corporate capitalism, labor mobility regimes, and animal enclosure and commodification.
That's really interesting. And when and how did you become interested in fisheries and all the socio-ecological aspects of fisheries and coastal communities? What was it that sparked your interest?
So I guess I probably would have to go back to my childhood. So I grew up in a fishing family, and it shaped a lot of my early childhood memories and experiences. I was also really concerned with climate change and the environment and animal rights when I was little. And when I went into university, I double majored in women's studies and anthropology. So this made me really aware of myself as a researcher and helped shape my decision to kind of focus on what I knew, where I came from. So this meant that my undergrad honors thesis was a feminist political ecological analysis of seafood processing workers, or shore workers as they're called in British Columbia, in fish plants in BC.
Oh, nice. And how did you get to where you are today when you're thinking about your trajectory? So what has your trajectory been like since, as you were saying, you started getting interested in that from your childhood? And how has the focus of your research changed or shifted throughout the years or along the way to get where you are today?
Yeah, so I think that a lot of the changes that have happened or what's really shaped my trajectory has been a lot of the scholars that have I've had the privilege to work with. So when I was doing my undergraduate work, I was introduced to the research that Dr. Barbara Neese and Dr. Nicole Power do, and was really lucky to be able to come and do my master's with them. And then doing that work introduced me to feminist political economy and social ecological frameworks, as well as to occupational health and safety issues and concerns in fisheries and seafood processing. And then my PhD is where I started to look at the aquaculture industry, really specifically salmon aquaculture. And I started to compare its similarities and differences with the whale capture industry, how it its role in coastal communities, especially with regards to processing plants and the workers in processing plants. And then out of that work, near the end of my PhD, Dr. Sarah Martin here at MUN introduced me to financialization, which is really simply, like really, really simply, how finance itself shapes corporate growth and profit accumulation strategies. And so then that led into my first postdoc with OFI, which was in geography with Dr. Charlie Mather. And he introduced me to a whole new body of literature in STS and assemblage theory. And I also at this time started to do some work with Dr. Madeline Gustafson. And through working with her and Dr. Nicole Power, we started to think more explicitly about feminism in fisheries. And then more, even more recently, I've been learning a lot about governance in fisheries and coastal communities. And this work has come out of collaborations with Dr. Gerald Singh and Jack Daly, Poppy Coe, and Dr. Evan Andrews. And it's been a really steep learning curve for me, but it's been really kind of interesting to try to make my work applicable to fisheries governments to think through that aspect of what I do. So really all of these theories and scholars combined, and I'm sure there are many more that I'm forgetting, but they've really kind of informed where I currently am and shaped that sort of journey.
Yeah, it's great to hear about your trajectory and how different kinds of focus and your research, how it was like shaping and adding to where you are today. So what are some of the things you would still like to understand through your research in future projects, and where do you want to get? What is your main goal moving forward now?
Yeah, so this is a tough question to answer. But my plan right now with future projects is to continue to focus on aquaculture and coastal communities, and to really look at aquaculture and how it develops within the blue economy frameworks. I don't really have a main goal per se, but I'm super fascinated with the overlaps in legislative and corporate finance structures, and I'm really hoping to learn more in that area. I'm also currently working on a project in collaboration with Dr. Maria Andres Lopez Gomez on employment in aquaculture on the Burin Peninsula here in Newfoundland. And we're hoping to work with communities on the Burin in Newfoundland to understand what they would like aquaculture employment to look like and what would help them get there. So I'm also really excited about that project.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that too as you move along with that. So besides your extensive research and teaching experience, you have recently launched the Fishy Feminist website, and you have organized and hosted events in support of early career researchers, and you also collaborate with the Social Justice Co-op here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Can you tell us a bit about those side projects and how they complement your research or you personally?
Yeah, for sure. So the Fishy Feminist website is tied to my current postdoc and comes out of my collaborations with Dr. Gustafson and Dr. Nicole Power. And it provides a link or a platform that links my current research projects and partners. And it will soon be home to a podcast. So everyone, please go check it out. The work alongside the Social Justice Co-op has been a really great learning experience for me. There are so many really amazing people in Newfoundland doing really great work on issues of equity and justice. So I would also recommend everybody go check out their website and see what they're doing. But they complement my research in their focus on issues of equity, justice, and inclusion in society. And I've really benefited from seeing how they organize and run meetings and get things done on the ground and in communities.
Yeah, it's great to see that collaboration and how you get to connect with also this social justice co-op, who's also doing work on the ground here and connecting with so many other organizations in Newfoundland and Labrador. So the Fish and Feminist website is really interesting, and your podcast that you're going to be launching soon. So what is Fishy Feminist about, and what does it mean to be a fishy feminist or a feminist in fisheries?
Yeah, so this sort of work arose from my collaborative work with Dr. Madeline Gustafson and work with Nicole Power. And we organized a session at a conference together in 2019 and then another one in 2021. And we also have a themed issue in the Journal of Gender, Race, and Culture with this same kind of theme and topic. And it kind of really came out of us wanting to think about and look back at, to inform going forward, feminist theories in relation to fisheries and aquaculture.
And what does feminism mean to you or in general? And how does it relate to fisheries and coastal communities?
Yeah, so feminism is like, it's such a common term, but it's one that still holds a lot of taboo. We use the term fishy feminist with a bit of tongue in cheek. So feminism itself is really diverse. It means different things for different people. But how I understand feminism is as an analytical lens to understand and to think about how to do differently overlapping assemblages of inequities. So I find it useful to understand why some people have access to more power and privilege over other humans and other animals in specific places and time periods, and how these inequities are linked. So another way to say this would be to think about how racism and sexism and ableism, for example, exist in our society and are connected to colonial and capitalist histories and current realities that create these false binaries that exist between humans and other animals and nature and culture more broadly.
And what are some feminist theoretical and methodological approaches to understanding fishing and aquaculture industries and communities? So how do we take that to research? How do you conduct your research in that sense?
Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of feminist theories and methods that are applied to fishing and aquaculture. And these different approaches exist globally. But I actually just co-authored a paper kind of looking at this topic. So this is a co-authored paper with Dr. Nicole Power and Dr. Barbara Neese, as well as Dr. Katia Frangood. And we were looking at how feminist frameworks have been used in fisheries research. We focused specifically on the North Atlantic and for a region, but we looked at how these feminist frameworks have been used in the past and what would be a useful approach going forward. So in that paper, we looked at how much of the research in the North Atlantic from the 1980s on was kind of situated in ecofeminist or feminist political ecology roots. So we specifically differentiated a feminist approach from a gendered approach. And we looked at the roots of this work, including some of our own earlier research, and kind of critiqued it for mainly being focused on or human focused. So we realized that it's still really rare to see attention to alternative ontologies and to the interconnections of how we understand and interact with the other than human marine world to other inequities, and also to environmental degradation, which includes violence against other than humans or more than humans. So in the paper, we revisit ecofeminist theory because we argue that ecofeminist theory offers a way to kind of understand the connections between patriarchy and colonial and capitalist systems that have privileged, sometimes and often violently, men and white people, rich people, and overdeveloped countries in the global north over women, black and brown people, and countries in the global south, as well as nature. So we kind of really felt that the ecofeminist analysis was useful because it also includes a multiscalar analysis. So what that means is it connects these local experiences and context of inequities and exploitation to broader intersecting systems, including patriarchy, for example, or capitalism and colonialism and speciesism. Yeah, so we connect the ecofeminist theory with the more than human literatures as kind of one possible helpful framework, a feminist framework for looking at and understanding fishing and aquaculture industries and communities currently.
That's very interesting. I'll be definitely reading that paper, and I recommend that others do that too, so we can better understand that. So how can feminist insights into fisheries and coastal communities help us better understand and inform ocean governance in the face of change? So thinking about climate change and, change in general, going through our oceans and our society.
Yeah, and I think this is a really good question. So I think that discussions of equity and justice within the context of fisheries and aquaculture require that we conceptualize, document, and find ways to address these linked oppressions, including in our relationships with nature and with the larger systemic power relations that exist within and across societies and people. So in the paper I was just talking about, we proposed this engagement with the ecofeminist, more than human literatures as sort of a starting point for future work. And we tried to kind of address the tension that exists when you're trying to apply feminist theories, which can be kind of abstract, and apply it to fisheries and aquaculture, where it has to be negotiated within national and international governance structures. And we argue that despite that sort of tension, or that there is an urgent need for conceptual tools that can address the current threats facing our oceans, including the fish and other marine life and the people who depend on them. So we argue that this ecofeminist or more than human framework would help to scrutinize and also challenge the ways, for example, that blue economy and the blue growth narratives have been advanced, or are proposed to be advanced by many nations, in ways that seek to both further commodify ocean capacity, but also kind of continue to also use narratives of equity and justice that are kind of linked to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So I think to kind of simply sum up the answer, I think that the feminist insights kind of give us really helpful conceptual tools that kind of link these sort of really complex issues that we're facing with in terms of like social inequities, but also like environmental inequities and climate change.
And in relation to that, so in light of that, what does it take to make fisheries and coastal communities more equitable, diverse, and inclusive? And what would that look like?
Yeah, so this question is actually what I'm hoping to investigate in my current postdoc. And I think that this isn't an answer that it's not a question that I can answer. I think it needs to be answered by specific coastal communities themselves, just because I don't think that there's a universal or one size fits all communities answer for this. So stay tuned for my podcast, because there I'm going to be asking all sorts of people this very question.
I'm looking forward to that. So, Christine, now is the tough part of the interview. The tough part of the interview is over. Well, this next part is pretty tough too, I find. So we're down to the final five questions. This is a group of five questions that I ask each of the guests that come on the show. So we always start real simple with what is your favorite fish?
Yeah, so my favorite fish would be a salmon. And I say that because I grew up catching and eating it, and it really holds kind of a special meaning for me. Maybe because it's sort of really integral to like my childhood.
I would love to get some markers from you on how to catch salmon. I've been trying and I haven't been successful yet. And what is your favorite memory from your career or research so far?
Yeah, this is a really hard question. Mostly just because I really love the part of research that I really love is when I'm talking to people in communities. And I always learn so much from them. So I think that's so my favorite memories are these kind of memories of doing interviews and talking to people.
And what is your dream job or location?
Yeah, also a really hard. I think that a dream would be to be able to move back to BC just because that's where all my family is. But yeah, that's a really hard question.
Yeah, that's pretty far from Newfoundland, so I can see it would
Yeah.
be nice to be able to be there more often, I guess, and or work there, as you're saying.
Yes.
So if money was not an issue, what is one project that you would like to work on?
Yeah, so I think one project that I've sort of been trying to keep alive, which I would love to be able to just focus on more specifically, is looking more in depth at financialization and economization in fisheries, aquaculture, and seafood processing, and the understanding the overlaps there.
And that is something that you have been involved on for a bit too, as part of your trajectory, right? And if there was one point or principle that you could have programmed into everyone's head, what would that be?
Yeah, so I think this is also a really hard question. Maybe that feminism and gender doesn't mean only focusing on women. And like a gendered analysis doesn't just equate to women. It really means understanding social patterns and institutions that affect how men and women are able to kind of live their lives and live their lives in different ways, and how that affects all other parts of our lives. And so within fisheries, for example, it's super important to talk about women and understand women and make sure that they have equal footing, but also to understand really kind of how inequities play out in terms of gendered norms for men and women. So if you kind of want to look at inequities, you need to look at both men and women, and also other broader inequities that impact people. So like race and gender and sex and ability and age, all of those sort of things really kind of all come into play.
Yeah, that's a great final message to end our podcast with. So, Christine, thank you so much for coming to the podcast today. It was a pleasure hearing about you and all of your work. If people want to find out more about you or get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on. It was really great to talk to you, as always. If people want to find out more information or get a hold of me, they can find me on Twitter, or they can find my website, which is fishyfeminist.com, and at fishyfeminist.
Awesome. We'll also be including that into the episode description. So if you'd like to visit Christine's website or follow her on Twitter on Fishy Feminist, you can do that as well. If you'd like to get a hold of me, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at FisheriesPod, or by email on feedback@thefisheriespodcast.com. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. You can download past, present, and future episodes on your favorite listening app or stream it from Spotify or thefisheriespodcast.com. And don't forget, you can help support the podcast with a monthly contribution through Patreon or buy some awesome Fisheries Podcast logo shirts, hoodies, and stickers available on Teespring. I'm Marielle Lace. Thank you for listening to episode number 135 of the Fisheries Podcast. And remember, feminism and gender doesn't mean only focusing on women.